If you're going to discover God's, see God's favor on your life, you're going to have to submit. And it's going to mean sometimes he's going to make you do things you are very uncomfortable about.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, in the first part of Pastor Brian Grant's message, we learned that unlike in the Old Testament times, at salvation, every believer in Jesus Christ is anointed by the Holy Spirit and equipped with all that is needed to live a life of godliness and service. The problem, as Pastor Grant pointed out, is not a need for re-anointing. It is a need for yieldedness. Let's pick up the message again as Pastor Grant brings it to its conclusion. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant with the blessings of our anointing.
Divine favor is something special. Aren't you glad for God's divine favor? Listen. David knew God's favor was on him. So let's look at what he said about God's favor as we jump over to Psalm and chapter. In fact, you can write it down, but we're going to put it on the screen for you. Psalm 5, verse 11 to 12. I just want to pick a few verses here, what David says about divine favor. David says, "But let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with what? You will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. You will bless the righteous with favor." Have you experienced God's favor? Oh, I know you may say, yes, when he saved my soul. Yes, listen, that's an incredible blessing and the favor of God. But listen, there are some practical ways God shows us his favor. So you may say, what is God's favor? It's all well and good you tell us about God's favor. Help me understand what this is. Some would say that God's grace and God's favor are the same. And they are related, because grace, we sometimes say, one of the short definitions of grace is what? Grace is God's unmerited favor. So there is a degree to which grace and favor are related, because grace is unmerited favor. But listen, there is another aspect of favor that I want you to put in your notes. God's favor can be described as the tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. God will do tangible things in your life to show that you have his approval. Are you with me this morning? Tangible, practical things. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about, you see, salvation. That's where unmerited favor comes in. Amen. All of us who are saved by the grace of God. We've received God's unmerited favor. But listen, the favor that's being described here is a favor that God puts upon us because we have the approval of the Lord in our lives. You see, every Christian has experienced grace, but not every Christian is experiencing God's favor. For though we have all been anointed by God's Spirit, it's only when we submit to him that we receive his favor. Oh, let me say that again. Listen, although we have all been anointed by God's Spirit, it's only when we submit to him that we receive his favor and can point to tangible evidence in our lives that we have God's approval. And one of the tangible evidences God gives us is that quite often he brings people into our lives through whom he can display his divine favor. I could give you a number of stories. I'm going to tell you one. I hope you don't mind if I give you a personal story. because it was so powerful to me as I prepared this message. One of the ways he shows his favor is to bring people, just like he did in the case of Jonathan. He brought, in the case of David, he brought Jonathan into his life through whom he could display his favor. About 25 years ago, I was at a business conference, and I noticed on the schedule, the first I'd ever gone to this conference, I wasn't even a member of this organization. We were just going to check it out to see if this is something we should become a part of. It was a big organization. And some of you know I'm in the financial planning business, with a big financial planning organization. And I was surprised that there was actually something on the schedule about a prayer breakfast. Because, be honest with you, one of the sad things about our business is there's not much praying. There's a lot of cursing, but not much praying. So I was shocked there's going to be prayer breakfast. So I decided to go to this prayer breakfast. And to my shock, it was the first time they had ever had one. And the guy who was leading it, this is the part that was shocking. The guy who was leading it was a brand new Christian. He's one of the top guys in the organization. And so at his request, they had to yield and allow this prayer breakfast. But it was the first time he had done this, and he had just gotten saved. And so he didn't have a program. In fact, he said to us, you know, the God seemed to tell me I should do this. And I went to my pastor and I told him my plan. My pastor said, what is your plan? He said, the plan is I'm going to go there and I'm going to say, I believe God has somebody here who has a word to share from the scripture. His pastor laughed at him and said, are you crazy? Well, he came with that, and guess what? When he announced that, I laughed myself. I could not believe this super successful guy, one of the top men in the whole country, would come to this meeting and announce, I believe God has a word and somebody here has something to share. So I am just chuckling inside. And so after a while, God said to me, after a while, God says, what about you? And I said, no. And so God kept at it. And so I decided to point a few things out to God that he seemed to have missed. I said, God, no, I'm not talking out loud. You understand where I'm going? I said, God, haven't you noticed I'm not a member here? I'm just a visitor. Let them, these guys are members, let them talk. So I said, God kept at it. So I did something very naughty. You want me to tell you what I did? I pulled out the race card. I said to God, God, don't you realize I'm the only black man here? You ever done that? Please forgive me. But it just shows how God doesn't care about color. He wouldn't leave me alone. He didn't care that I was the only one. He kept at me. So I finally had to. What is the word I've been using? Submit. You see, you never see God's favor until you're submitting, until you're yielding, until you're saying, God, not my way, it's your way. I had to submit. I finally submitted, and the Lord finally said to me, you just spoke at your church on Sunday. Can't you share some of the same things you told them? So cold turkey now, I was able to speak. Guess for how long? Not 2 minutes. 5. 20 minutes I spoke. Well, they enjoyed it so much. I didn't realize that God was opening this door. God opened so many doors. I'll never forget one day I was in a swimming pool in Hawaii. And the chairman of AIG came to me and he said, I was in the service this morning
and I appreciate what you shared. Listen, God had given me so much opportunity to share the word of God because I said yes. But there's more, because I haven't told you about favor. So one day, there's another prayer meeting, and a gentleman is in the room who none of us knew, and he put in a request. He had a lot of family problems, and he gave us specific issues he wanted to be prayed for, and they asked me to pray for him. And you know, some people are from, anyhow, bottom line, I prayed very, very specifically for his needs. And somehow the Spirit of God touched him and decided to show me favor. It was amazing. I didn't even know what was going on behind the scenes. This man turned out to be second in command to one of the 10 top banking companies in the country with over $600 billion. Behind the scenes, he went to ask who I was, found out who I was, and gave instructions to the bank to make me a part of a business arrangement in which the bank referred me to their wealthiest clients. By God's favor, I now had the privilege of sitting face to face with people worth hundreds of millions and billions of dollars, just because I had sat in a meeting, and when God challenged me, I had yielded to the Spirit. I'm going to ask you, God may not show you his favor the exact way he showed me, because I'll be honest, it totally turned our business around. It totally transformed our business, what God did that day. But God has the ability to show you his divine favor in ways you will not expect. It's mind-blowing what God will do. The question is, am I going to be so? I want to be in charge. Oh, we love being in charge. But because of our anointing, God has anointed us. He has given us all the resources we need to live a victorious life. The question is, am I going to submit myself to the Spirit of God? Sometimes he may use you to do the most uncomfortable thing. You may say, oh, street ministry is not my thing. We have all sorts of excuses. What is not our ministry and what is our ministry? Listen, if you're going to discover God's, see God's favor on your life, you're going to have to submit, and it's going to mean sometimes he's going to make you do things you are very uncomfortable about. I didn't intend to say that. But I believe God wants us to hear that, because I believe too many Christians are only want to do what they're comfortable. Oh, I'm not comfortable with that. You think God really cares if you're comfortable? Some of us are holding ourselves back from experiencing God's favor because our decision making is based on what we are comfortable with. But today God has a message for you this morning. Listen, today the message is, listen, I have anointed you, and one of the blessings of the anointing is God's divine favor. But we will never experience God's divine favor until we are willing to yield and put down whatever card it is. Some of you have jobs right now, and you're probably using that same card I use. Sometimes we use that as a crutch. Because I am this and because I'm that, nothing will happen. Only the God of Almighty knows what will happen when we follow him. Somebody ought to say amen. God's divine favor, number one. But before I sit down, I want to say a few things about, listen, we are blessed with divine protection. We're blessed with divine protection. Oh, some of you can tell all sorts of stories, and so can I, about God's blessing us with divine protection. Amen. But look at here in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse number 9. Now the distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand. David was playing music with his hand. Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence and he drove the spear into the wall. David fled and escaped. Saul was a trained soldier who knew how to accurately throw his spear. But although he had a clear shot, you ever thought of it this way? He had a clear shot. Poor David was there playing with his what? His harp or whatever he was playing. If somebody's playing and you're him in the same room and you know to use your spear, he ain't supposed to get away. You understand what I'm saying? But although he had a clear shot at David, he missed. For David had divine protection. Amen? But Saul wouldn't give up. So let's see what happened next in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 11. So Samuel sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, and in case you missed it, who is Michal? Saul's daughter. Oh, it's David's wife, but it's Saul's daughter. So we already know Saul's son. God has found favor with his son. And now we now know God has given him favor with Saul's daughter. And his wife said, if you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be killed. That's what Michal is saying to David. So Michal let David down through a window. This sounds like a TV series. This has got to be a spy series from TV. So Michal let him down through a window. He went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a cover of goat's hair for his head and covered it with clothes. Sounds exciting. So when Saul sent messengers and they came in the room, there he is. There is David in the bed, sick like a dog. Well, they didn't want to disturb this sick man. So they went back to tell Saul what had happened. So Saul said, go and bring him to me. That's verse 18. Bring him to me in the bed. Bring him on the bed. Amen. Bring him on the bed. Bring them. Because I want to kill him now. Go get him in the bed. When the messengers had come in, there was an image in the bed with a cover of goat's hair for his head. Then Saul said to Michal, why have you deceived me like this and sent my enemy away so that he has escaped? Oh, hallelujah. He had what? Divine favor, yes, but he had no what? Divine protection. Amen. Aren't you glad for divine protection? Oh, you could tell your story. I got all sorts of stories that sometimes you don't quite know how the car stopped. Particularly when I was crazy and driving like a madman with a car with almost no brakes. And I figured I could control that car just by changing down. But God saved my soul. Oh, you've heard this story when we were traveling in Europe and we didn't know where to get off the train. We were totally lost. And we were getting off at the wrong stop. And God sent this man to us. He just suddenly said, this is not your stop. Oh, I don't have time to tell you that story again. This man who didn't know us from Adam. This is not your stop. He says, just watch me. Wherever I get off, you come. Follow me. I turned to my wife. I said, should we really follow this man? This man may intend to kill us, right? He may be kidnapping us. But somehow God said, go. Oh, hallelujah. I
leave that story for another time. But my brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, listen, part of the blessings of our anointing, he gives us divine favor. Hallelujah. We have his divine protection. So let me read before I quit Psalm 59. Because, you know, Psalm 59 is actually a psalm in which David is writing as a result of what happened here. So Psalm 59 is tied to what we just read. Okay? You'll see that it says a psalm when Saul sent men and they watched the house in order to kill him. You see, that's what it tells you there at the top of the psalm. So let's look at verse number 1. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for me, for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Oh, perhaps I'm talking to somebody this morning. They may not be trying to kill you, but they're trying to harm you. They're trying to ruin your reputation. They're trying to take away your job. They're trying to hurt you. You haven't done anything wrong. Oh, hallelujah. I just want you to know we have a God and he can give his divine protection. Amen. He can protect us from all sorts of adversaries. For time, jump to verse 16. You can read the whole psalm when you go home. But in verse 16, David says, but I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praise. Praise God. We're going to quit right there. We're going to stop right there. We'll pick up another time as the Lord allows us. We'll stop right there. But I'm so glad. Aren't you glad? That we have been anointed by the Spirit of God. And because of that anointing, there are significant blessings. We have the blessings of God's divine favor. We have the blessing of God's divine protection. And there is more and more that we will see in the days ahead. There is more. But ain't nothing gonna happen until you yield to him. Until you surrender to him. Until you say, God, I surrender all. I surrender all. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sin and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. And he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.